Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. In this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that deals with how to correct abuses of the Lord's table, Paul gives both a short-term and a long-term remedy. Now, the abuses that he has described in the earlier part of the chapter are things like cliquishness, selfishness, pride, lack of harmony, unity, love, lack of recognizing that every member of the body of Christ is an equal member before Christ and all should be treated equally, but instead, those who had abundance came together and enjoyed their covered dish abundance just among themselves, people of their economic standing, and those who didn't have anything were left out, were left hungry, and this kind of thing, and it reveals all kinds of problems, and that is a terrible misunderstanding of the Lord's body. That's a terrible abuse of the way Christians are to behave and to relate to one another. And that's a serious matter. And so I think that's exactly what is being talked about in verse 29 when it says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That's the problem. You are not properly understanding the Lord's body, what it is and how it operates and how we relate to one another in it. You are showing an abysmal lack of understanding of the Lord's body. And that therefore means when you partake of the Lord's table in that condition, having acted in this manner, you are going to incur chastening. There's going to be God's judgment upon those who act in such a way. And so he gives the short-term remedy for this, as we've seen, and we'll review it quickly in a moment, but then there's a long-term remedy as well, and we'll take that one up today also. But I pause now to welcome you to this Wednesday, March 9 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to remind you that we are in need of your financial help, and to thank those who have sent us financial help along the way. Well, the short-term remedy is very simple. Let a man examine himself. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We would not be chastened. We wouldn't have to be spanked back into obedience. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's the short-term remedy. That one can be applied at every Lord's table observance. Take a short time. It doesn't have to be a long time. It's longer is better than short, and it would be really beneficial and ideal that you would take time to examine yourself before you even assemble with the saints, before you come to church, before you come to the observance of the Lord's table. Take care of this at home. Take care of this in your own prayer closet. Take care of this before you assemble together. Examine yourself. Confess your sins. But in most observances of the Lord's table, there is a time allotted for that. And before we partake, let's have a time of silent prayer where each can examine himself before the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to show him his sins and to acknowledge and confess them before the Lord. And if we'll do that, then we are qualified to partake, as qualified as we'll ever be, and we will not be chastened by the Lord. So there's a very simple but very effective short-term remedy. But then in the last couple of verses, we come to what we might call the longer-term remedy, and here it is, verses 33 and verse 34. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. The remedy is brotherly consideration. The remedy is sensible preparation. And the remedy involves some secondary considerations, and we'll look at all of these in turn. First of all, brotherly consideration. Verse 33, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Brotherly consideration. When you come together to eat, wait for one another. Let the lower class laborers arrive before you eat. Wait for them. Be considerate of them when you come together to eat. And again, remember, we're talking about a fellowship meal prior to the partaking of the elements of the Lord's table. A love feast. A fellowship meal. A covered dish supper. Wait for everybody to get there before you partake. And you should schedule your meetings at times when people can come together. And of course, it's impossible to know in every case everyone who's planning to come. We don't always know, do we? But an appropriate time that nearly everyone should be able to come, and then make sure that they have opportunity to be there. Just be considerate, brotherly consideration. And that needs to be done as an ongoing basis. Short-term solution, examine yourself, confess your sins, and partake. Long-term solution, develop a culture of brotherly love, of brotherly consideration, which, of course, we should be doing anyway. And if we're doing that properly, it will reveal itself in the way we partake of the Lord's table. And these problems that are described in relationship to the Lord's table won't happen, because brotherly love, brotherly consideration for one another is going to solve that problem, but it will have to be developed. If it hasn't been practiced regularly, it takes a little while to recognize bad habits and to change bad habits. Habits take a little while to change, but brotherly consideration is a longer-term solution. And then secondly, sensible preparation. Verse 34, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Satisfy your hunger at home if you can't wait. The love feast is not a time to satisfy the hunger of a starving person, because when that happens, you have the very problems that were described earlier. The hungry person says, I can't wait, let's eat. I'm here, food's here, I'm going to eat. Dear friends, there's more at stake here than that, and if you are in that situation, then eat something before you come. Curb that appetite, curb that hunger. It's kind of like we do with our children. If we're going to go out to eat or going to a friend's to eat, and it's past the normal time when they eat, what do? You give them a snack to address their hunger so that they will be comfortable and will be able to partake of this assigned meal that you are going to. It's pretty simple, and that works for adults as well. So take care of that at home. Let the Lord's Supper demonstrate love and unity and sharing, not selfishness, gluttony, cliques, and class distinctions. And so eat at home before you come. Have a snack. Eat a sandwich. Have whatever it takes, whatever you've got. I like to have granola bars handy for this very purpose. I keep them in my office at the church. I keep them in my cupboard at home. I take them with me when I travel because that solves a lot of problems. I can reach in and get a granola bar. They're easy to carry. They're easy to store. The ones I buy are wrapped very tightly in an excellent packaging so that they stay fresh for a long time, and that's a good remedy. So, sensible preparation. You prepare yourself to observe the Lord's table, and whatever it takes to help you arrive in such a condition that you can be considerate toward others. And you don't have to be grouchy and hasty and gluttonous, selfish. Not that you would have to be anyway, but you're more inclined to be that way when you are hungry. So take care of that. Sensible preparations, whatever it takes. And then some secondary considerations. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. There are additional matters that need correction, but they can wait. Other matters, the rest I will set in order when I come. Well, why? Because they're not quite as important. They don't incur divine judgment. So there are secondary considerations, and I'll deal with those when I get there, but these can't wait. You've got to take care of these things now because you're going to be observing the Lord's table many, many times before I get there, and it is critical that you understand these things now and address them now and take care of these matters now. Now, notice what this tells us, among other things, and that is that every truth in Scripture is not of equal weight. We could figure that out in a number of ways, but here's one that is so obvious. There are some things that have to be taken care of now. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest, and I would take that not just the matter of eating at home, but all the things he's instructed about the Lord's table prior to now. But there are some other things. I'm not done with the instructions that you need, but the other things can wait. The rest I will set in order when I come. Not every truth is of equal weight in Scripture. And mature Christians understand that. Only immature Christians have the idea that every little, small, nitpicky, and questionable matter in Scripture is of equal importance to these weightier matters. I remember many years ago a preacher challenging me with this very idea. Why, how dare you say that some things are less important than others? How can you say that anything in God's Word is not important? How can I say it? Because the Bible says it. That's how. These things must be known and practiced now. The rest are not quite as important, so they can wait. I'll set those in order when I come. Is that so hard to figure out? It shouldn't be. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.